Joining us this morning with a legislative update, the 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. I'll get it out there. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, very exciting news in a sense that as all the budgets were coming together, we see that we actually have a surplus. And this, again, without raising taxes, but we're not cutting taxes either. Can you tell us how this surplus is coming into play?
I am very excited about this, Jeff. So the state of Washington produces an updated revenue kind of outlook every quarter, and it's known as their state revenue forecast. And the last one a few months ago was very positive, you know, just despite everything that had gone on with the pandemic and the economic closures that were instituted from Olympia. I was really concerned about the revenues 3 months ago, but those were actually on the rise. And now, even with a partial economic reopening, the state revenue is doing quite well. For this past two-year period that we're kind of still in, the revenues are predicted to be at least $3 billion greater than what we had anticipated. And over the next 4 years, which is kind of the outlook that the state budget's on, the state revenue is projected to be an additional $5 billion greater. And to give you a sense, like our budget right now is about a $54 billion two-year budget. So to get an extra $5 billion is really, really positive. So we have this additional state revenue beyond what we had expected. The economy is going to just, in my opinion, continue to reopen because the vaccines and the COVID case counts are way down. And so ultimately, I think we'll be able to do even better than all this. But we have this extra revenue, the federal stimulus dollars that's coming into the state, and we still have a $2 billion healthy rainy day fund balance in our state reserves. So frankly, I think we're doing great. And this comes at just the right time as the budgets start being rolled out.
Mm-hmm. And of course, with this proposed state income tax, we're not seeing any cuts anywhere, just collecting more money.
Well, that's right. And I actually think all this revenue in the state, let alone the federal dollars and our healthy reserves account, just go to kind of boost up the argument that many of us, including myself, are making, which is this isn't the time that we need revenue. So back to that capital gains income tax, you know how we talked about it before. I said it's not a reform. They're not reducing regressive taxes in our state. There's no reductions in the sales tax. There's no reductions on business taxes. They're just layering in a new additional tax with this. And they're doing that at a time when it's clearly not needed. The only difference is I think this is kind of the window of opportunity when they control the legislature and the state Supreme Court is very tax friendly. So they're really nervous. They want to get this through the process so that they can get it on the books and then over time be able to reduce the exemptions and the thresholds over the years ahead. But clearly for this budget, it is not needed. Although the Senate budget proposal hasn't been released yet. And when it is released later this week, we'll also get an indication of how much additional spending is proposed. Over the last 10 years, the last five budget cycles, the spending increases, it just goes up. The graph looks like you're walking up the stairs because every budget cycle, it just goes a step up and a step up and a step up. What used to be, Jeff, when I started the legislature, like a $36 billion two-year budget is now a $54 billion two-year budget just in the 9 or 10 years I've served in the legislature. So it'll be interesting to see what's proposed this week.
We moved into phase three yesterday, and I know in our conversations last week with Representative Steele and Gaynor, there was some conversation about the executive powers of the governor, and perhaps there was still a window of opportunity, not to take that away, but more or less limit the governor's opportunity to call for a declaration of emergency and then continually remain in that situation without having any input from the legislature. Has there been any other conversation or any movement on that?
Boy, I wish so. You know, last week you and I had a good conversation, and we got a community connection text from your own community member, Ray Dobbs, who asked a really good question about that, if you'll recall. And it's one of those things where I support a bill to make some emergency power reforms. I don't think it's appropriate to strip away all the emergency powers from either the president of the United States or the governor. And that goes to whoever is in those positions, whether it's President Trump or President Biden or Governor Inslee or his successor, whoever that may be. But I do think our state founders never envisioned a nearly year-long pandemic, which was declared as an emergency this whole time. And the governor, through his executive powers, was able to issue executive order after executive order. And the pandemic occurred, if you recall, Jeff, it started right at the end of the last legislative session. And since the legislature in Washington state does not meet all year throughout the year, the legislature wasn't in session almost all of this time. And that allowed the governor to continue to issue and reissue these statewide directives. And so what my idea is that I actually co-sponsored on a bill, what I support is, hey, the governor should be allowed to issue an executive order one time, maybe two times. So 30 days, 60 days, something in that neighborhood. But after one or two of these, he has to call back in the legislature for a special legislative session to get statewide legislative approval on any continuation of an emergency power authorization. Mm-hmm. To me, that seems very reasonable. Most of the time, the governor would have some statewide emergency or some regional crisis, and he'd be able to issue an executive order. It would last for 30 days, 45 days, and it would be over and done with. But if there was ever something like what we all experienced this year, he would have a check and a balance. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's reasonable. Yeah. The question is, would the governor support that reform if it got to his desk? In order for any change in our emergency powers to become law, Governor Inslee is going to have to sign that into law. And I just don't think he wants to do that.
Mm-hmm. Why hasn't there been, perhaps during this session, and despite that, why hasn't there been more of a push by the legislature to make that reform?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the legislature is controlled by the Democrat Party, both in the House and the Senate. They have very comfortable majorities in both chambers. And the governor, they I don't think they want to make a push, even though many of them do support it. They don't want to make it seem like it's about the governor. They don't want to look like they're undermining him. They don't want to look like he made mistakes. And so they just have steered away from it. Now, the Republican minorities, we have been pushing on it, but that's not, if you don't hear it in the media, it doesn't necessarily mean it hasn't happened. It just means it's not being covered. And when we push and push and push on something, sometimes we're cast off as kind of the squeaky wheels. But the reality is, I think we have a lot of support for these reforms if we can get them to the floor. And to me, I want to make the case is, like, I'm not suggesting doing these things to beat up on Governor Inslee. I've definitely had my philosophical disagreements with him. He's been dealt a tough hand himself. But to me, it's not about Governor Inslee. And it's not really about his successor. It's about all the future governors that will come before us. And it's about the people of the state of Washington needing a fair and balanced sort of emergency power statute in our state. And so it's I'm trying not to make it about Governor Inslee, and I hope he would see it that same way. But the reality is I don't think he does.
Now that we've passed the halfway mark of this legislative session, fill us in on what's ahead. What can we be expecting?
Well, it's budgets, budgets, and budgets. So just yesterday, the Senate released its two-year transportation budget proposal. And later this week, the Senate is going to release its operating budget proposal. And I believe maybe early next week, the capital budget proposal will be released. And all of those budgets need to come through their committees. So, for example, I serve on the Transportation Committee in the Senate. So I'll get a chance to weigh in on the Senate's transportation budget proposal. But all those budgets come through their committees. Eventually, they get to the full state Senate for a vote. And if they get approved, the House of Representatives does the same thing with its budget proposals. And in the end, the budget negotiators, House and Senate, for each of the three state budgets, operating, transportation, and capital, need to come together and work out a final agreement on one budget document for each of those three. And then ultimately the legislature will approve the three budgets in a final form. And if Governor Inslee signs those, like other bills, they become law. There are a few other policy bills that are still in the works. I have a few of mine still viable in the House of Representatives. Some of the House members, for example, have bills that are still viable in the state Senate. But for the most part, these final few weeks are finalizing, getting along the pathway towards finalizing the budgets and also passing whatever final bills are still eligible in the process.
As we run out of time this morning, can you just give us any final thoughts you might like to share with your constituents this morning?
Well, my final thought is it's an honor to serve the 12th District. I am so proud to serve as our state senator. We really pride ourselves as an office in getting information to people and following up to their questions. So if any of your listeners, the KOZI listeners, have any questions at all, any feedback for me, the best way to reach me is my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. My phone numbers are there. My email address is there. And people can mail us a letter if they'd like, but I value hearing from you. We have staff that are there to help you answer questions. So if there's any questions at all or comments, feel free to send those my way. And I just appreciate the chance to make a community connection with you each week, Jeff. So thanks for having me.
Oh, we definitely appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Senator Brad Hawkins.
Thank you, Jeff.